Welcome to On DOD on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, your host, Jared Serbu.
And thanks for listening. On the program this time, we will explore one of the major enterprise resource planning systems within the Defense Department. This one is a direct connection to the battlefield readiness of the U.S. Army. The Logistics Modernization Program is the system of record for the Army's Working Capital Fund, helping to manage maintenance schedules and inventories throughout the depots and the rest of the sprawling industrial base that makes up Army Materiel Command. Since fielding first started in 2003, the system has helped the Army cut its maintenance order processing time from about 2 weeks to about 2 days. We have two guests with us this week to talk about LMP and lessons learned so far as the program continues to field its second increment. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Williams is the product manager for LMP, and Josh Call is the chief of the Supply Chain Management Division at Army Materiel Command. They visited our studios in Northwest Washington to talk with me about the program's progress so far and what's next. Colonel Williams is the first voice you'll hear.
The Logistics Modernization Program is provided to Army Materiel Command. And the Army Materiel Command mission is to develop and deliver global readiness solutions to sustain unified land operations around the globe. The Army has an industrial base, an organic industrial base, and these are sites engaged in various maintenance, manufacturing, and overhaul activities, say ranging from helicopters to tanks. And we provide the software and business processes, in short, a set of tools, information technologies and supportive business needs to streamline, automate, and standardize all the activities associated with what goes on at those sites.
And maybe you guys could describe a little bit of the scope and the scale of the industrial base that we're talking about for people who aren't familiar with the whole Army Materiel Command enterprise. And Joshua, that's probably a better question for you.
Yeah, Jared, that is a good question. The Army Materiel Command, when he talks about global readiness, our industrial base is the original manufacturer of a lot of military equipment. We also overhaul just about every vehicle, piece of equipment that the soldiers use in their daily operations. And from us, our view is we manage procurement actions. We do research and development activities on support of weapon system program managers for new capabilities. We store and manage inventory that supports the soldiers in their mission and the repair of their own vehicles and equipment. And from the industrial base, when we look at those, we have sites like Corpus Christi that'll take a helicopter that's been shot down or crashed and rebuild it from a data plate, essentially, into a brand new flyable helicopter. We have Rock Island Arsenal that builds machine components for both the Army and for the other services. The big gun tubes are done at Watervliet Arsenal. And so we have this diverse product mix from major items all the way down into mortar rounds and illumination rounds that are used that AMC's industrial base delivers for the Army.
And so take us back to, I guess it'd be the late 90s when folks started talking about replacing all the legacy systems that support that enterprise that you just talked us about. What was this thing that we now called LMP meant to achieve, and why did the Army decide we needed a big enterprise resource planning system like this?
It was meant to help transform the Army Materiel Command's business operations, our business-like operations of supply, planning, maintenance, and financial management. We had a group of legacy systems, older systems that were at that time about 30 years old. They had big problems with sustaining the code, improving the code. The operating systems were out of the use of the rest of the department and the rest of, and even in industry, those were falling out of use in favor of newer technologies. So we looked at how do we integrate our business operations between both the lifecycle management commands and the secondary item managers that work there that manage the inventory, and then the industrial base that were on their own set of systems where we couldn't have those integrated very well and had a lot of uniqueness built into those that fit the old Army business operations that existed in the 1950s and 1960s.
And Jared, this is Lieutenant Colonel Williams. If I could add to that.
Please.
I'd like the audience to think of enterprise resource planning the way Thomas Wallace and Michael Crimzar explain in their book, Enterprise Resource Planning, Making It Happen. Basic definitions, as they describe ERP, are an enterprise-wide set of management tools that balance demand and supply, have the ability to link customers and suppliers into a complete supply chain, And then you employ proven business processes for decision making. And that gives a higher degree across functional integration between sales, marketing, manufacturing, operations, and so on. So you become streamlined, more efficient, and in the long run, save money and provide a higher level of customer service. And they say 50 years from now, when viewing the industrial history of the 20th century, the evolution of ERP will be seen as a watershed event. And as Michael Doan said in the SAP Blue Book, Concise Business Guide to the World of SAP, technology is only a curiosity if it doesn't serve a purpose. He gives an analogy to the game of basketball, and I think this will get at your question as to why did AMC need to do ERP?
Mm-hmm.
The game of basketball, as Doan states in his book, was played from 1891 to 1906 the same way, with peach baskets, but with the bottom of the basket intact. So, and it was played that way for years, so you can imagine 10 folks running around on a court with a ladder, and each time a basket was made, somebody had to go up and take it out. Now, they were playing basketball, but not the way we know it today. Someone thought back in 1906 to cut the bottom out of the peach basket. So you can imagine what that did for the game of basketball. You're still playing the same game, but on a different level. And that's what ERP tools and best practices bring to an organization and what we want to bring to Army Materiel Command.
So what is the soldier equivalent of innovating on that basketball hoop? If I'm somewhere deployed around the world, what does the fact that that LMP now exists mean to me?
Well, the Army has a readiness model, the Army Sustainment Readiness Model. It has four pillars to it: manning, training, equipping, and leader development. Now, we tie, I would say, directly into the equipping pillar in the following way. So when we bring these best industry practices, software and other tools and IT to bear inside the industrial base, and these operations become automated, streamlined, and more efficient, well, we'll get cheaper in the long run. Now, Army Materiel Command industrial base operations are funded by and large by working capital funds. Now, the customers have to reimburse those activity with appropriated accounts. In short, that means the money that Congress says we authorize and appropriate and give to defense, and in turn they give down to the Army. So our thinking is, as we deploy these capabilities inside the industrial base, we will save money in the long run. So now those customers who are paying with appropriated dollars into the working capital fund for these activities will pay less. Now that frees up those monies to be used against the other pillars: manning, training, leader development, or in fact, for additional equipping needs. So in short, we'll take those savings and put them back into the pie and put them toward other needs in support of Army readiness. Because as the Chief of Staff of the Army, General Milley, said, Army readiness is his number one priority, and that's what LMP is all about, is in the end, supporting readiness, and that's how it relates to the soldier at the tactical edge.
So LMP, I believe, first went live in its earliest versions back in 2003, which I think just illustrates how large and complex an undertaking it is to integrate these commercial enterprise resource planning systems into an organization as large as the Defense Department. Talk a bit about why it has taken so long, and that's not a criticism, why it has taken so long to get this program completely fielded. And it, indeed, as I think you'll tell us in a minute, there are still new developments happening within LMP.
So a traditional ERP deployment model looks at what pieces of the business do you want to bring on first. We chose in AMC to do a command-centric view in looking at our major subordinate commands, and starting with the Communications Electronic Command, headquartered at that time in Fort Monmouth. They took the lead in identifying how we were going to use the logistics modernization program in their processes. And I'll tell you, the move to a commercial system from something that has been built for your unique processes is a very challenging cultural change management event. And there were some areas where, at that time, SAP, from a product perspective, didn't meet all of the Army requirements. We couldn't do certain things in it that had to be looked at. We had to design how we were going to do them in the future and develop and test that new functionality. So, for example, in the Army, we, unlike a traditional manufacturing or supply organization, we deal with a lot of broken things. And the Army doesn't get rid of equipment just because it's broken. We bring it back and fix it.
Right.
And we have to have those processes put in place. That wasn't something that SAP supported very well. And so we have what we call condition codes that identify the serviceability, whether it's something that can meet mission, fully meet mission, partially meet mission, or different levels of repair or demilitarization that's required. So those kinds of things had to be put into the system. And it's more than just putting the ability to manage that data in the system. It has to be integrated in the processes. So for example, is when we plan a depot overhaul program for a generator at Letterkenny Army Depot, we have to make sure that we have the broken generators coming back from the field. And we had to put that kind of advanced planning in place to support the 8-year budget cycle of the Department of Defense. And so some of that there is the reasons why the work continued for a number of years as we stabilized that deployment at CECOM, went through that big transformation event there, and then looked at the Aviation Missile Command as our next deployment that happened in 2009.
And as you say, the Army is unique in that it handles a lot of broken stuff and does some things that no commercial organization really ever would. So putting those things aside, to what extent does the SAP product that you're using look identical or at least similar to what someone in commercial industry would be using? That really the question I'm getting at is the whole issue of customization that we've seen with ERPs across really the entire federal government over the years, the question of how much you tailor your own business processes to match the commercial software versus trying to customize the commercial software so that you don't have to change your business processes.
One of the reasons why SAP became a market leader was they opened up the ability for folks to configure and customize the solution to their unique business needs. And so customizing and configuration in SAP is a common practice. The key is to do it smartly. And so our major customizations were worked back with SAP to make sure that they aligned with, as best we could, their processes and internal solutions and the supportability that we would need in the long term going forward. So the unserviceable management was one piece that we had to integrate into our product planning, our depot planning, our financial planning, and our inventory planning. And it did differentiate us at the time. There is industry that do that now, and we actually have folks coming to us asking how we accomplish that in our system so that they can look at doing that too. Another area where we had to work was our separation inside the working capital fund is we have two types of activities. We have a supply management that's to forward position inventory closer to the soldier to support their needs for repair and consumption of parts, and then the industrial base that does the building and fixing of equipment. And those are two separate financial policies that manage those. And so that was an area where we identified we're going into this LMP thing together and it's an integrated system, but we still had to separate out for financial policy and reporting reasons those two different parts of the working capital fund business.
That's Josh Call, the chief of the Supply Chain Management Division at Army Materiel Command, talking with us about the Army's Logistics Modernization Program. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Williams, LMP's product manager, is also with us. We'll talk more with both of them after a quick break. This is On DoD on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbin. Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, this is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. We're joined this week by Lieutenant Colonel Robert Williams, the product manager for the Army's Logistics Modernization Program, and Josh Call, the chief of the Supply Chain Management Division at Army Materiel Command. Let's talk a bit about where we are in the development of LMP. I think increment one, as you called it, which is what we started with back in the early 2000s, is basically fielded. Colonel, you want to talk to us about what happened in increment one and how that's different from what's going on now in increment two?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think of increment one as a capability used to run the business by the top floor, meaning more senior leadership and management. So in the lifecycle management commands within Army Materiel Command, you have what are known as item managers. And then below that in the industrial base, you have site leadership and managers. They used increment one for budgeting, planning, and high-level production activities. And that's the key thing to take away from increment one. It was used at the, quote, top floor. And that's how it's different from increment two. Increment two didn't take those capabilities to streamline and automate and standardize business processes down to the shop floor. So those line managers and artisans, for example, welders and machinists, who now use LMP Increment 2 in support of detailed production planning and execution activities. So Increment 1 was more top floor centric, whereas Increment 2 focused more at the shop floor.
And as Colonel Williams had in there on that big focus on the industrial base, at our lifecycle management commands, The item managers still use the same capability out of LMP to introduce new items to the inventory, plan the level of spares that are required to support the Army operational tempo, do their procurement planning, their inventory management, their redistribution of assets. And so that's functionality that continues while we added that additional ability to manage discrete production operations at our maintenance activities.
And to throw out a few additional statistics, just to give you an idea of where and how many people use LMP, we have 30,000 plus users at over 50 Army and Department of Defense locations worldwide. We interface with about 81 Department of Defense systems. We manage $19 billion in working capital funds inventory, major end items, and about 7 million transactions a day.
That one figure alone, 81 different Department of Defense systems. Talk a bit about that and the challenge with building those interfaces, because I'm imagining that a lot of those are legacy systems and not modern things that things like SAP are really designed to integrate right out of the box with.
Correct. So our Department of Defense has a lot of centers of excellence and agencies focused around specific pieces of a process. So accounting services is an example. An SAP system tries to integrate all of those things into seamless processes. So that did introduce some challenges to us and the other ERPs in the Department of Defense in tying in those pieces of the system, of external systems, into the integrated process of SAP. And in a lot of cases, the DoD has made a lot of progress in moving to more robust transmission means, interface mechanisms with the defense logistics management standard, replacing the old mil-strip processes. So that's made a lot of improvements and better supports the native SAP processes. But it definitely is both a cultural change with all those outside organizations that we interface to or that we rely on for pieces of our business. When we're trying to improve our internal business, we have to keep them in mind and work with them. And that's always, anytime you cross multiple organizations, it just gets a little bit harder.
And getting back to the differences between Increment 1 and Increment 2, Colonel, can you talk a little bit about what you learned during that initial fielding over that first decade of Increment 1 that you then took and applied to this ongoing rollout of Increment 2?
That's a great topic to raise. And we are a project and within a program, and we do things that you would find in industry where programs and projects are managed. And that is to capture lessons learned from previous projects and apply them to future endeavors. So we had a few key lessons learned from the deployments over time within Increment 1 that we applied successfully toward Increment 2. Important to point out, Increment 2 went live on the 23rd of May across the remaining sites who had not previously received the capability in the industrial base. Back in June of 2015, we had a pilot event with Increment 2 at Corpus Christi Army Depot down in Texas, at the Joint Manufacturing and Technology Center in Rock Island, Illinois, and at the McAllister Army Ammunition Plant in Oklahoma. And those three sites represented functionality across LMP, as well as the capabilities you would find across the entire industrial base. So due to the successful deployment at those three pilot sites, we went live to 14 additional sites on the 23rd of May of this year. So lessons learned that we applied to both the pilot go live back last June and then the go live this May were managing requirements. So we had a series of rapid design workshops with solution experts from the industrial base and lifecycle management commands, where we followed business process reengineering, which we spoke about earlier. And BPR is just taking re-examining your business processes and technologies and how to do them better to become more efficient, but also to change them so that they adapt to your SAP or enterprise resource planning software. And that's important to do because best business practices are built in or inherent to SAP commercial off-the-shelf technologies. A second thing we did was we spent a lot of time and investment in data. Think of it this way. Bad data at the speed of light would still be bad data. So why would you spend the money on enterprise software, the databases and architecture and infrastructure that host your data, and then spend money on training and then deploying, only to find that you didn't engage enough in data activities? And here are the keys to that. So first, you have to engage in data cleansing. That means, is the data in the legacy systems or processes correct? And do you need additional data that you're not currently capturing it? And then you have to practice moving the correct data out of legacy systems and processes into the Logistics Modernization Program Enterprise software. And then you have to ensure that it shows up the way it's supposed to correctly so that the end user can do their job with that data. We also had a robust training effort. We had a train-the-trainer approach. Soldiers would understand what that means. The Army does a lot of that. So we deployed that concept within LMP, working with Army Materiel Command expert users. So we developed a pool of cadre that the program office and our contractor trained, and those cadre members in turn train the end user. So now you have a core set of expert users and trainers resident inside those industrial base sites as people come and go. Another key aspect and lessons learned are functional security roles. That simply means an end user doesn't need access to everything inside your software and your enterprise, only what they need to do their job. So we engage in what's called role mapping. So you don't want to over or under map. So before you just start assigning roles, you engage in role mapping. So those were the key takeaways from the earlier deployments we successfully applied to the rollout of Increment 2.
Your point on data correctness, that seems like one of these challenges that comes up every time anybody in government tries to transition to a modern enterprise system. And one of the things that I'm imagining that you ran up against that's also fairly common is you have multiple data sources and you got to figure out which one is the authoritative one and which one you want to settle on. And as you said, figure out where the holes in the data are that you need to go out and start collecting. Can you talk a little bit more about how you wrestled through that whole process of deciding on, like I said, authoritative data sources and figuring out where your seams and your gaps were?
Yeah, so this is Josh from AMC, and that was definitely a challenge that we uncovered as part of our initial deployment to the Communications Electronic Command in 2003. As we brought their system at CECOM together with the data from Toby Hanna Army Depot, which is their depot supporting them, we had to reconcile those two data sources, both at the master level when you deal with what is a piece of material, what are all of its characteristics. Because those were managed separately, they differed from each other in a lot of cases. And then you also have all the transactional, the history of when requisitions were received or orders were made that in some cases were reflected in both systems. And so you have this challenge with both master data and the transactional business data that's generated as part of performing mission activities. We established what's called the Logistics Support Activities Enterprise Data Management Office to help us oversee from an AMC perspective our integrated data efforts as we were moving towards further deployments that we're going to bring more and more legacy systems together into one integrated process. The other piece that's a challenge is for these traditionally stovepiped organizations and stovepipe roles in a business to start to understand the impacts that what they're doing has on somebody in a downstream process or even in an upstream. So if a depot had recorded a part as reparable in their view because they could fix it, that needs to be worked out with the item manager because that same code could be used at the tactical level that's not supposed to repair it. They're supposed to get a replacement and then return the broken piece back to a depot. So there's a lot of that work that had to be done to understand how all that stuff fit together that was on top of the traditional challenge with just the old data in one system being wrong. When you start bringing it, looking it through the lens of an end-to-end process, you start to find more and more discrepancies and challenges.
Josh Call is the Chief of the Supply Chain Management Division at Army Materiel Command. Our other guest this week is Lieutenant Colonel Robert Williams, the Product Manager for the Logistics Modernization Program. More on how the Army's using LMP to address its readiness challenges after another short pause on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Servio. Thanks for listening to federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. Back with our guests, Josh Call, the Chief of the Supply Chain Management Division at Army Materiel Command, and Lieutenant Colonel Robert Williams, the Product Manager for the Army Logistics Modernization Program, as we talk about the ongoing deployment of LMP. Colonel, you mentioned earlier that Increment 2 of LMP is more focused on the shop floor, and I think one manifestation of that is that you're also starting to use mobile devices in the hands of some of those skilled artisans to help them access LMP. Can you talk a bit about how you're deploying that and where it's being used and how it's being used so far in terms of that mobile capability?
Yes, that's a great point to bring up. As you can imagine, there are a lot of activities that take place down on the shop floor, and items move from work center or station to station. So you don't want to tether an artisan to a workstation. He or she has to move around the shop floor. So we deployed tablets, notebooks, so that through a wireless infrastructure where the artisan could input data and capture what they're doing, and also a scanning capability to support automatic identification technology to include ammunition automatic identification technology.
And from an AMC perspective, we also had to look at what is the right amount of devices on the shop floor. And we think we got it pretty good for our estimates. We'll know over the few years. But for example, when there's a team of folks tearing apart an Apache helicopter in a hangar, they need to have that device there with them to look at the drawings, the diagrams, and sometimes to record what they're pulling off and some of the condition of the assets, like an airframe where as they remove a panel, they may find some corrosion or some damage that had been hidden that we didn't know about that needs to be captured and reported back to the customer, to the engineers. And so having that kind of technology that industry is using widely in our shop floors has been a big improvement for us already.
And this is Lieutenant Colonel Williams. That brings to mind another point I should make, which I failed to touch on earlier. A big so what of deploying Increment 2 was the automation piece, and the mention of tablet technology and handhelds made me think of that. Before we rolled out Increment 2, by and large across the industrial base, and Josh just mentioned helicopters, so if you were down in Corpus Christi Army Depot and you brought a Black Hawk utility helicopter in for an overhaul, it has to be broken down into various parts and pieces, refurbed, overhauled, put back together, and sent back out to the fleet. That work was done in large manually in legacy systems. And imagine if you take the engine and it goes through various work centers, and the rotor blades go through another set of work centers, and everything comes back together to form the Black Hawk at the end. A lot of people touch those parts and pieces. A lot of activities occur from labor, parts consumed, work performed, and then at the as-built, once something gets put back together, the state that it's in. You can imagine a stack of papers would grow as these parts and pieces went around the depot, and we've eliminated that by providing automated technologies where now the labor required, the labor performed, the parts consumed, the financials that link to all of that, specifications are all inside of LMP, and that's automated. And rather than a stack of papers that go around with each of these items, you have one or two pieces of paper with barcodes that you can scan to pull up this data and information.
Right. And to your point about just the number of people and organizations that touch something during this whole depot maintenance cycle, I think a lot of those people are not in your organic industrial base. I think the statutory requirement is only that 50% of depot maintenance happen in government-owned facilities. So you've got a lot of contractors, too. How well integrated is LMP with members of the non-DOD industrial base? How tied into their systems are you? Or is LMP resident in their facilities? How does that all work?
LMP is executed, used in the AMC-owned industrial sites other than the Hawthorne Army Ammunition Depot in Nevada, where we have contractors repairing and doing depot overhaul on vehicles and equipment. That follows our normal contract processes, which start in LMP in identifying what's the level of repair that I need, what's the schedule of end item return that I need to support my field requirements for those capabilities. And so that flows out through the contracting and is negotiated. We get the delivery schedule back to help with our planning. But from an execution perspective, they report the cost and the dollars and the schedule through the normal contract processes from the Federal Acquisition Regulation. We have looked at some areas where contractors could use LMP in their business. We do have some in a few unique instances using LMP, the contractors, but they're generally focused on a warehouse management, inventory management process.
Gentlemen, you've talked in broad strokes about sort of the efficiency and productivity gains that you've gotten from LMP, but give me some concrete figures, if you could, in terms of time saved, in terms of money saved. How are you doing business now in better ways from an overall AMC perspective, I guess, compared to what was possible with the legacy systems that we started with?
Yeah. So for our first big savings from an LMP perspective was the retirement of our old legacy systems. We'd estimated a few years ago that the life cycle for those over the same life cycle of the LMP was well over $2 billion. And that didn't include any additional functionality improvements. That was just the normal cost to run and maintain them. It didn't include the advanced requirements we have today for audit readiness, because those systems just wouldn't have met it. It would have been a complete rebuild of those. It didn't include cybersecurity requirements and protecting information to the level that we do now and that we're capable of doing in LMP. So that was one big piece. The other big piece was better managing our inventory and better managing our support to the warfighter. And so using LMP for the last few years, we have reduced about $4 billion in Army Working Capital Fund inventory, and we've made the right decisions on the majority of that inventory divestiture so that we haven't impacted soldier readiness rates, which means we are still providing the right parts where they need them, but we're doing it by overall spending less on inventory.
And talk a bit about why LMP helped you do that. Was it just the case that without the accuracy of the systems that you have right now, you just had a lot more spare parts on hand than you actually needed just because you wanted to make really sure you didn't run out?
Yeah, so some of it was that challenge with linking all the different legacy systems together to get a good view of what is my inventory posture today. Now that we have the ties to the contracting process so that we can see deliveries of new procurements, when there's going to be in, when the items that are off on contract repair are going to be returned to the inventory, and then we can see all of the items that are in transit between our national locations or on deliveries out to the customer. So we can see all that in one place. And that item manager at TACOM Army, Tank and Automotive Command in Michigan can look and see the worldwide status of all of his national logistics assets in one place. So that was a big key for us. The other piece was starting to track all that historical demand of what was used where and when, and bringing some advanced industry statistical models and forecasting models in to help project where we need the inventory, how much do we need, was a big capability that we use every day in our business.
One of the figures on the LMP fact sheet that I'm looking at says that it used to take 2 weeks to handle maintenance order processing time, and that under LMP that's been cut to 2 days. That's a big difference. Walk me through the processes that make that happen, that cut that timeline so dramatically.
Yeah. So in that case of the relationship between our lifecycle management commands and the industrial base that supports them, we had to negotiate projects in two different systems. So as an item manager, I would begin working with Anniston Army Depot that rebuilds Abrams tanks and start to plan and schedule the activities that I need. Now that we're all in one integrated system off the same set of master data, as I work my transaction, I don't have to wait for it to be batched over to your system at the end of the day and then you to review it and make some changes, send it back to me. That's really a collaborative process that can happen in near real time now. And as we move from the planning, the final negotiation, the acceptance, and then actually committing the money, obligating the money in support of that industrial activity is all handled internal to LMP.
And is there any real difference in terms of the time it takes for an end item to get from a depot out to the soldier? And bring this back to warfighting for me, if you can.
We have in a lot of areas reduced the amount of time a piece of equipment takes in a depot from the receipt at the front gate till the shipment back out on the other end. LMP has been a piece of that. It's not the only piece. We've implemented a lot of Lean Six Sigma philosophy across our industrial base, a lot of improved focus on quality over the last 15 years. It's won AMC many industry awards for our quality programs. And so all that together is what's helped AMC deliver equipment to the warfighter faster and cheaper than we had done in the decades prior. A piece of LMP that's really helped there is we'll see that unserviceable item due in to the depot, and we know what day we need to have it in order for the depot to pull it in and start to do the teardown analysis and the examination. We've already planned the parts based on historical averages at that point, and we have a mechanism now to adjust it based on every individual tank's needs because they all come in different. And that's an area that industry in a lot of cases doesn't have to deal with that really differentiates us from the other organizations that do similar things to AMC.
Josh Call is the chief of the Supply Chain Management Division at AMC, the Army Materiel Command. We're talking about the Army Logistics Modernization Program. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Williams, the LMP product manager, is also with us. They'll both be back with us after one more break this hour on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Servin.
Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, this is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. A few minutes left with Lieutenant Colonel Robert Williams, the product manager for the Army Logistics Modernization Program, and Josh Call, the chief of the Supply Chain Management Division at Army Materiel Command. One of you mentioned auditability, and I want to get into that a little bit more before we run out of time, because the deadline's coming. End of next year, everybody is supposed to be ready. How big a piece of that entire puzzle is LMP? How much of a consideration was it as you put together LMP Increment 2?
This is Lieutenant Colonel Williams. Before I hand that off to Josh, I would point out that the LMP is the Army Working Capital Fund system of record. Whereas one of our sister ERPs, the GFIPS program, takes care of the appropriated funds, we're the Army Working Capital Fund System of Record. And in layman's terms, think of it as LMP is the checkbook or the ledger where you keep track of all the OCOF expenditures and the activities that they support. So that's why the auditability mandate applied to Army Materiel Command and Army Working Capital Funds, and that's why it linked to LMP being the system of record for that.
Yeah, and from an auditability perspective, you've got the checkbook side and you've got all the budgetary resources, inventory and buildings and everything else that the work makes up the balance sheet. One of the challenges we had in our legacy processes was just because we had so many different inventory systems, they all had to be fed and linked together. And we had a constant challenge just trying to reconcile the systems. It was harder than even just reconciling the physical inventory at that location to the system that was supporting it. So that's an area where LMP has greatly helped us because now we have the system source and the physical source, and we're not trying to chase different data in different systems. The other is that integrated flow of finances that SAP is built around. It does finances as a byproduct of the logistics operations that you do. And so anytime I move a piece of material, it's automatically taking its assigned value and it's moving it to the new location whenever I confirm that those actions have been carried out. And that's an area that our legacy systems, we had to build additional financial functionality to tie in that kind of logistics data and project it to the ledger. And SAP just does it inherently.
And this may be a better question for the Army's financial management community, but do you have a fair degree of confidence that LMP gets you to where you need to be from an auditability perspective within that working capital fund?
Yeah, as I look back at our legacy systems and the state we were in from an auditability perspective and the challenges we had in just determining if the logistics quantity was even close to right with those kinds of processes that we had, we have made huge strides. The auditors would be the ones that tell us whether we have gone far enough, but I know that we have done a significant amount of effort, and LMP has been a big piece of that, that the Working Capital Fund is in a much better situation than it's ever been before from an audit perspective.
And this is Lieutenant Colonel Williams.
Yes, sir.
Jared, as we discussed earlier, Increment 2 focused on shop floor automation, and the product we delivered for that was the Complex Assembly Manufacturing Solution. So in the form of CAMs, linking to LMP Increment 1, those artisans, what it costs to fund the activities they engage in, their labor, if you will, because of LMP Increment 2, you can now trace their labor and the cost of their labor and activities through the financial statements and general ledger process. So because of Increment 2 down at the shop floor, we have traceability regarding the expenditure of working capital funds within the industrial base.
That's one element of the next question I was going to ask, actually, because there was a GAO report back in 2013 that indicated that the Army wasn't able to track the financial benefits of having LMP. That functionality just wasn't there in Increment 1, apparently. How broad does that go in Increment 2? What additional capabilities does that give you to see how LMP is actually benefiting the Army?
I'd like to address the first part, the first point, the GAO, because I worked very closely with that GAO audit team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right, we did not do as good of a job as we needed to in tracking the financial benefits of LMP's deployment. Some of the key areas we were trying to improve, like inventory management, reduction in inventory, with the ongoing activities where we supported Iraq and Afghanistan and the deployment and operational tempo, our inventory grew just because of that process and the introduction of new weapon systems that was going on. And so We've improved our processes now. We're starting to track that. We know that we've reduced the $4 billion in inventory. We're looking at how those decisions are impacting the operational requirements from the Army, and we're not seeing, and that's what I said before, we're seeing that we're still meeting our targets with the for the soldier, but doing it with less inventory. And so that's a good news story for the Army and for the taxpayer.
In our final couple minutes, let me just ask the what's next question. When are we going to be able to say that Increment 2 is fully deployed and up and running and doing what it's supposed to do? And what happens after that?
This is Lieutenant Colonel Williams. I think Josh and I can tag team that question. I'll start out by saying, well, we're classified as an acquisition category 1 major automated information system. So that means that we have to go through or fall under the rubric of the Department of Defense Instruction 5000 governing acquisition decisions. So we had our full deployment decision back in March of this year, a favorable one from the Defense Acquisition Executive, Mr. Kendall, who authorized full fielding, which took place in May. Now, the next step in the defense acquisition lifecycle we have to face is the full deployment decision. And that's where we move from, okay, now that you've fully fielded LMP, is it ready to go to sustainment? So Army Materiel Command is currently engaged in a critical business process validation process. And that just means they're taking an independent look inside of AMC at LMP Increment 2 across those industrial base sites to ensure that it's meeting the business needs as identified when the life cycle or the program was initiated, Increment 2, that is, back in 2013.
Yeah, and as Colonel Williams said, we're following that acquisition process. And from an AMC perspective, we leverage that to our advantage. So the acquisition process said we need to do limited fielding and an initial operational test. So we chose our three most challenging sites for that. Corpus Christi Army Depot has the most strict depot maintenance remanufacturing requirements because of the aviation safety and serialization. So we chose them for a reason to stress the system, to test it, to make sure that it met our requirements. Rock Island Arsenal was our key manufacturing location, our largest manufacturing location that did OEM type of work in production. And so we use that to our advantage from an AMC to test out the system, to work with the evaluators to make sure that it met our requirements. There's still a difference between full deployment and effective employment. And so that's an area where in our business case and all our planning, we know based on our experience in LMP and in talking with corporations that deployed similar capability, that it takes a few years to get it inculcated through your culture and through all your processes. And so we've been focused on making sure the depots can validate that the processes work for them. And they're doing that on specific product lines in each of our industrial base activities. And then from there, we start to move into spreading the capability across the rest of the floor and using it to its full extent. And that is a process that will take us years.
Any idea how many years? Are we talking 2-3 years? Or is this the sustainment process that you talked about going to take us out for 10, 15, 20?
No, it's measured in the 2-3 year range. It was actually 3 years is what we identified as part of our initial planning. I was just visiting Toby Hanna Army Depot that does a lot of the communications equipment, and they're farther along after 6 to 8 weeks in the system than I expected them to be in our review. And so most of our sites have latched onto this capability. They're pushing some areas of it further than others. And that's what we wanted from them. We wanted them to take ownership of it, to decide which of their product lines and areas would get the most value out of the capability and focus on those first.
All right. And we will leave it there for time. Colonel Williams, Mr. Call, thanks so much for talking with us about LMP. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Colonel Robert Williams is the product manager for the Army Logistics Modernization Program, and Josh Call is the chief of the Supply Chain Management Division at Army Materiel Command, talking with us for the full hour this week about LMP. And if you have questions of your own about the program that we've been talking about, I want to direct your attention to our homepage at federalnewsradio.com, where you can sign up for a free online chat. Colonel Williams and Mr. Call have both agreed to join us for that on Tuesday, July 26th at 1:30 Eastern Time. We hope you'll be able to participate. That's it for this week's edition of On DoD. Thanks as always for joining us. I'm Jared Serbio. So long.
You've been listening to On DoD with Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. On DoD, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.